Hi, my name is Rabbi Dr. Mish Hammer-Kosoy. I'm one of the freshly minted rabbis ordained in the very first wave of female Orthodox rabbis this past June. I'm so pleased to present my first unit to the ICJW on Yom Kippurim and on this occasion to pay honor to Bano Haberman, my predecessor, Zichrona Livracha, of blessed memory. Yom Kippur is a really familiar holiday. I think that it's the day that is most attended synagogue of all of the holidays of the Jewish year. So if you've been to synagogue before, there's a good chance that you've been on Yom Kippur. Most of us have a memory of a very, very solemn day, a day of fasting, of chest beating, and self-affliction. And this is all correct. The Torah, in fact, tells us, Va'anitem et nafshotechem, you shall afflict your souls, and that is repeated 5 times in the Torah to emphasize the importance of self-affliction on Yom Kippur. But there's another side to Yom Kippur as well. They say that Yom Kippur is a Yom Kippurim. It's a day like Purim, a day that's full of dancing and celebration. Why? The Mishnah tells us that it's our wedding day with God. On this day, the high priest enters the inner chamber of the temple. It's called the Kodesh Kodeshim, the Holy of Holies. And you could think of it as the throne room of God, but you could also think of it really, and it's hard for me even to say, to think of it as God's bedroom, and that once a year we are entering that room and consummating our marriage with God, if you will. And according to this understanding, the reason why we don't eat on Yom Kippur is not because we're afflicting ourselves, because we're trying to gain penance, because we're feeling terribly about all of our sins, but rather because we're transcending our need for food. We can't even think about food at a moment like this. We're so involved in our connection with God that our bodily needs are a distant memory. We're going to explore those two sides of Yom Kippur in most of the unit today. And then in the last part of the unit, we're going to look at a tough story of the rabbis. It's a short story. I don't want to ruin it, but it's not easy. It's challenging. And I'll tell you why I love it and why I chose to focus on that story today. Partially because it's a story that takes place on Yom Kippur, and I'm interested in Yom Kippur and its nexus with gender. It's a story about husbands and wives on Yom Kippur, but also because it's a story about a rabbi, written by a rabbi, and the rabbi himself is not a good guy. He's a difficult human being, and the rabbis are very critical of him. And in that way, they're actually being critical of themselves. And I think one of the things that's essential to Yom Kippur is the ability to be able to look inwards and to be able to both own the things that are wonderful about ourselves and also to be able to identify the parts of ourselves that the double-edged sword and the prices that we're paying for the choices that we're making and to be critical of ourselves. The rabbis are masters at critiquing their own culture. And this is a story that really is very, very critical of the rabbinic culture, and in that sense, it's a very powerful story. The moral of that story and of the unit as a whole is that we really can't, this unity that I've promised, this day of joy and union and marriage with God, is really only possible for us when we first seek intimacy and union with our fellow human beings generally and with our partners in particular. My hope for all of us, my prayer for all of us this Yom Kippur is that we should be able to do the kind of reflection before Yom Kippur and the deep spiritual work that's necessary in order for all of us to heal our relationships with each other and as a result to reach greater heights, both in terms of our relationships with each other and with the divine. Chag Sameach.